This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eric Adams indictment. I have many, many thoughts about that. Sean Davis is here. The senator, great Senator Ron Johnson is here. Dome's worst moments from her sit-down interview. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. I love anniversaries. You know that? I love anniversaries, and here's why. They're a way to remember important things. Birthdays even count. You know, it's your birthday. Let's remember your life. It's your wedding anniversary. Let's remember that. Interesting things happen on anniversaries. Did you know that? You remember 1 year ago to the day, speaking of anniversaries, 1 year ago to the day, New York Mayor Eric Adams got up at a podium and said this.
I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month.
Remember how eye-popping that was a year ago? And let's discuss why it was eye-popping. Oh, there's a lot to get to with all this. You see, let's explain something about globalism, the system, communism. This is all going to come back to it, so just stay with me here. The leaders of nations now, Western civilization, we're talking about America, England, France, Germany, the UK, all these people, they don't see themselves as leaders of their individual countries. In fact, individual countries, sovereign nations, the idea is kind of ridiculous to these people. They see themselves as global leaders. They should be in charge of everything, everyone. And they hate the idea of a nation of freedom. And so that's where they start. And they understand they're going to have challenges implementing their view of the world. The challenge, of course, for the global leaders, the leaders of Western civilization, the challenge is you. You like being free. You like rights. You like being able to say what you want. You love your country. That in and of itself is a huge problem for these people. They're trying to burn your country down and tear it apart. You love it. You have a power at the ballot box. You are the enemy in these people's minds. I need to drive that point home. This will get back to Eric Adams. Stay with me. You are the enemy. When they go to sleep at night, when they wake up in the morning, you are what stresses them out. It's not China, Russia, terror, nuclear weapons, none of those things. None of those things concern them. You are what worry them. Well, what do you do about that if you're them? How do you deal with you? You see, what they'd like to do is what every tyrant has done in the past. They would like to just arrest you or shoot you. That's really how tyrants have handled these problems in the past. You have citizens you don't like, round them up, murder them all. That's what they would like to do. And believe me when I tell you, the leaders of Western civilization would do that without a moment of hesitation. But their powers as of now don't really allow them to do that. We do have some laws in place. There's a state system here. We own a lot of guns. They can't do that. So if they can't murder you and imprison you the way they want to, what can they do? Well, replace you, you see. They don't have to kick in your door, shoot you in the middle of the night. What they're concerned about is your power, the power you have, the power you exercise at the ballot box. They want that to go away so they can destroy you and destroy your country. So if they can't shoot you, they'll just open up the border of your country and replace you. They will, of course, find willing partners in the business world who would much prefer to pay half as much as they currently are paying for labor. So they'll have people in the business world who will align with them. They'll have low-T Republicans like James Lankford who will help them with their plans. But their plan is simply to replace you, the meddlesome citizen. And this isn't unique to America. Canadians are going through this. The UK, France, Germany. All these leaders threw open the borders of their country for a reason. And it had nothing to do with compassion or refugees or any of those other things. It was always about replacing you, the meddlesome citizen. So I needed you to understand that before we come back to Eric Adams. And here's why. The topic of immigration, illegal and legal, remember, these people abuse legal immigration just as much. The topic of legal immigration or illegal immigration can be treated as kind of a side issue, almost a byproduct. If you elect Democrats, the border is going to end up being open. But that really doesn't drive the point home the way the point needs to be driven home. You see, flooding our nation, flooding Western countries with barbarians from all over the planet is not a side issue. It's one of the main things, maybe the main mission of the system, of the globalist elites, of our evil system here. It happened on day one when Joe Biden took over. Day one. They didn't wait till day two. They found every single executive order Trump had put into place to lock down the border, and they immediately threw all that stuff in the paper shredder and said, oh my gosh, let them all in, more, more, more. And then they took as much of your money, and they still are doing this, as humanly possible, and they're flying them in, they're busing them in. They are bringing them in mass, as fast as humanly possible. Does it sound like a side issue for them, or does it sound like the issue for them? Flooding your country with people to replace you at work, replace you at the ballot box, is everything to the evil people who run the world now. Now that brings me back to Eric Adams. Here we are. It's election season. Oh my gosh, it's almost voting day. Everything now is about PR. We want to make Democrats look good. We want to make Republicans look bad. So it's not a small thing that the feds raided Eric Adams, raided his mansion, indictment, these felonies, bribery, all kinds of charges. So why would they do such a thing? Eric Adams committed the mortal sin. As a member of the system, and remember, I'm sure he's corrupt, but as a member of the system who's undoubtedly done corrupt things to get elected, he then, on camera, with that microphone in his hands, stood up and complained about the one main mission of the globalist elite. They love it. It's everything to them. They've wrapped their arms around immigration, and they hold it at night, and that man had the gall to stand up on camera and give a voice to the people who are angry about it. And don't you think for a second it was an accident that 1 year to the day of him doing that, the feds came barging through his door. Eric Adams knows it.
I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. The federal government did nothing as its broken immigration policies overloaded our shelter system with no relief. I put the people of New York before party and politics.
Eric Adams, defiant and honest. Eric Adams, he knows exactly why his door got kicked in. And again, I'm no Eric Adams fan, and I'm certainly not here to tell you Eric Adams is a by-the-book guy who never broke the law. He's a New York Democrat. He's a criminal. I'm reasonably sure of that. I have no doubt. But there are many, many Democrat criminals in many, many strongholds across the country. But there is precisely one mayor who had his door kicked in by the feds, and that is the one who got a little too loud complaining about the main goal of the system. And that brings me to why this is actually a national crisis. What's happening in New York right now is a national crisis issue. Why? It's not about Eric Adams or New York. I just went on this long rant about how it was the federal government and this was all political. You already knew that. Before you turned on I'm Right tonight, you knew that. We have a trust issue where our institutions are so corrupted, evil, and poisonous, the American people don't believe anything anymore. And while we have to be like that, it's important that you be like that, that's disastrous for a country. And shame on all the people who've brought us to this place as a country. Let's talk to Sean Davis about that. Joining me now, my friend, CEO, co-founder of The Federalist, Sean Davis. Sean, I have no doubt that Eric Adams is a corrupt scumbag. He's a Democrat from the city of New York, after all. But also, we all know the deal. And I guess maybe today I'm a bit heartened. How about that for a college word, Sean? I'm a bit heartened at seeing the response to Eric Adams being arrested. Everyone seems to get the game now. It's been wonderful to see.
Yeah, it has been, and I had the instinctively same response as you did, which was, yeah, I'm sure he's corrupt. He's a Democrat, so I think it's par for the course. But, I mean, what was this guy doing that Hunter Biden wasn't doing? I saw earlier that they were accusing him of having accepted $100,000 in bribes. Now, that's a huge amount of money, and it's clearly a lot of bribes. That's like an afternoon for Hunter Biden. This guy was collecting diamonds from Chinese oligarchs and millions from the wife of the mayor of Moscow. He was representing the Chinese spy chief, Patrick Ho. That nothing happened to that guy. So I think it's super weird that Eric Adams, you know, it wasn't until after he got after he attacked the Biden administration for their immigration nonsense that they decided to come after him. Like, law enforcement to them is a tool of political oppression and punishment. And watching how this has all played out, I'm not sure you'll ever convince me otherwise.
Sean, it is a good thing and a terrible thing that the American people have woken up to this. Obviously, American people need to wake up to the fact their government is evil and corrupt and a criminal organization. But it's also terrible for the country that now, as soon as we see a major indictment, the DOJ do anything, we automatically assume they're lying. We are so far away from having the necessary amount of trust in our institutions, Sean. It's just very difficult to see how we put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
I agree. And it's interesting looking back, you know, 20, 30 years and thinking of all the different lies and lines we've been fed and realizing, yeah, it was probably all nonsense. I think you and I, just living in the media universe, are probably a little ahead of the curve. And so now you have lots of people finally waking up to it. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't lead to any good place because trust that's destroyed, that was built over generations, doesn't come back overnight. It takes a really, really long time to build that back up. And now that we have a regime at the federal level, which we all understand exists to persecute the regime's political opponents, that puts the country in a really dangerous place because only a couple things can happen. One, the regime can realize that it's been bad and that its behavior is unconscionable and it should stop, or it can keep doing it. Like, those are pretty much our options there. I suspect they're going to do option two, and that doesn't lead us anywhere good in this country.
It doesn't lead us anywhere good, Sean, and I think you and I both know. Obviously, you are a student of history. It's very, very rare for a corrupt, evil regime to just own it, get up in front of the camera and say, we've been bad boys and we're going to fix all that. So assuming you're right that it's going to be option two, doesn't that leave us with red states, maybe a coalition of red states? No, not civil war or anything like that. Joining together against the federal government in certain cases. Don't we have to start changing the idea of America now?
I don't know if we need to change the idea of America. I think we almost need to go back to what the idea of America was for 200 years, which was a collection of states who understood that they had ultimate sovereignty, who banded together for a common purpose under the rubric of the United States of America. And somewhere along the way, we got away from that and we started treating states as subsidiaries of the federal government. They just exist at the pleasure of the federal government. They get all their money from the federal government. So I don't think they need to change. I think we need to restore the rightful place of states in this union, which is as the top power. They were not meant to be these little subservient serfs in feudal areas for the federal government to rule over. But I'll tell you, I'm skeptical that'll happen because I was alive during 2020, and I know you were, and we saw how our countrymen and our governors reacted as we got locked in our homes. People got punished for not taking an experimental shot. I'll tell you, I'm kind of down on the country now, not just because the federal government's totally corrupt and evil, but because it seems like so many of our leaders, even at the state level, are just a bunch of feckless cowards.
Yeah, man, they sure are. Lickspittles. You're the one who reintroduced that word to me. I love that word. It's exactly what these people are. Lickspittles. I use it all the time, Sean, and I give you no credit. Speaking of open corruption, Vladimir, I don't know. I see his name spelled 1,000 different ways, whatever. Zelensky comes over here. He does a campaign stop for Kamala Harris, craps on Trump, craps on Vance, and then Joe Biden strokes him an $8 billion check of taxpayer money. It really is amazing how brazen the corruption is. It's just right out in the open, right in your face.
It is. And as bad as it sounds when you describe it that way, it's actually worse. Because you have to remember what happened before this little campaign stop. We had an American mercenary out in Ukraine who's seemingly unemployed and broke, allegedly throwing money around, talking about getting fake passports to bring people over to Ukraine to fight Russia. That guy nearly took a shot at Donald Trump, the former and likely future president. So you have this Ukraine mercenary who gets busted trying to kill President Trump. And then a week later, they invite him over here, Zelensky, to take rhetorical shots at Trump. And then the response, not just from Harris or Biden, they're Democrats, so we expect that nonsense. Mitch McConnell invites the guy to Congress and does a photo op with him and all but hands out a gigantic novelty check to him. Like, it's a little too on the nose. If you were writing a spy novel about a plot to take out a political opponent and you put that in there, the editors would say, come on, that's absurd. It's a little too on the nose. And yet we've all witnessed that over the last week and a half.
Sean, I'll be honest, it's something I find a little bit ominous how out in the open it is. As you just mentioned, it's just like very similar to me what they did during COVID when they would run to the camera every 5 minutes and scold you for leaving your home, for taking your mask off. And then that very same politician would always get busted hopping on a plane, flying to Florida for margaritas with the girls. It's really kind of a us versus the royalty mentality, and the royalty doesn't seem to be intimidated by the peasants.
No, and I actually find that so much more disheartening than them doing it in secret, which is what they did, you know, mm-hmm. for the last 50 years, probably longer. They now feel so comfortable rubbing our noses in it that they don't even hide it anymore. That's a terrifying level of arrogance and a sense of superiority and a feeling of comfort in their corruption that they have, that they don't even feel like they need to hide it anymore. I find that terrifying.
Yeah, me too. Sean, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. Well, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right, and so is he. Now, speaking of assassination attempts, remember that first one? That was kind of a big deal. Trump got shot in the head. A man died in the crowd. What's going on with that? What about that investigation? Where are we with that whole thing? Who paid for it? Who organized it? Was it a lone wolf? Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is not letting this thing go. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. He's not letting this thing go. He's digging into it. I would like some details, and he has some details for us. Before we get to that, here's a detail for you. I want you to do something for me. Real quick. I want you to go grab your last cell phone bill. Whatever it was. Maybe you have it on your phone. They used to text me mine. They'll text you your last cell phone bill. Maybe it's right there, but go grab your last cell phone bill. Now, just imagine, cut that number in half, and that's what you pay for your cell phone every single month. How much more money will you have at the end of the year? 2 years? 5 years? You switch to Pure Talk, you're doing more than just supporting the cell phone company that shares your values. You save a freaking fortune. And they have everything. You can keep your phone or number. They're sending me a new iPhone 16. In fact, it got to my house today. They have all the brand new stuff too, whatever you want, and you'll pay so much less. Why wouldn't you switch? Same 5G network. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Remember when Donald Trump got shot in the head? Kind of a big deal, don't you think? And the details of that have been slow to come out. Boy, is that putting it mildly. After all, they cremated the body and everything just kind of nice, neat, and clean, and they've moved on, apparently. I would like to know a little bit more about who tried to murder Donald Trump. Joining me now, Senator Ron Johnson, one of the very few good ones we have from the great state of Wisconsin. Okay, Senate just released a report on that Butler assassination attempt that, praise God, failed, at least for Trump. What's in it, Senator?
Well, my favorite part of the report is at the very tail end where it shows what we still don't know, what the Secret Service and the FBI still haven't turned over to us. Let's face it, yes. What we know about what happened on July 13th primarily comes from local law enforcement. My staff reached out immediately after the assassination, talked to these folks. So we issued a preliminary report within a week, which pretty well laid out the main problems, the siloed communications, lack of coordination, the Secret Service doesn't show up at the security briefing. We knew this was a spectacular security failure. Our report does a very good job of filling in the blanks and providing the details, but we've only had access to 12 Secret Service personnel to interview. By the way, the reason we have pretty good interviews from that is because my staff got the names of the Secret Service agents on the ground, so we knew who to contact to do interviews with. Had we not had that, we'd probably be getting the runaround from the Secret Service and talking to people that provided no information. But, so we're putting the meat on the bones. There was, I think, in particular, one revelation that came out in one of those interviews. One of the snipers from Hercules 2, this is the sniper team that was obstructed by a tree. They couldn't see Crooks. Crooks couldn't see them. And we've interviewed one of those snipers. He believes he heard a bullet whiz by him on the left-hand side. Actually thought his partner was shot. Looked over, found out his partner wasn't shot. Asked him, how far did that bullet fly by us on the left? I thought that flew by us on the right. Which means that they thought a bullet flew between them. Now, how does that happen? That's certainly raises additional questions. But we don't have the ballistics report. We don't have the bullet trajectory. We don't have the audio analysis of those shots being fired. We don't have crime scene photos. We don't have the autopsy. We don't have the toxicology report. We did just subpoena to get the autopsy. The House had to do that. They can't share it with us, apparently. So again, there's just so many unanswered questions. We don't know much about Crooks. They apparently cracked his encrypted foreign accounts. Where's that information? Where are the social media accounts? So no, I mean, the Secret Service, FBI remain very opaque. They are the law. They hold themselves above the law. They just really thumb their nose at Congress and the American people.
Senator, I talked about this a bit in the open, and obviously this is going to be specifically about this case, but are the people in Washington aware that there is a national crisis when it comes to the American people and their trust in their institutions, that this is the kind of stuff that ends nations? I realize all these people are drunk on power, but the American people are suspicious of everything now. They feel like the government's been weaponized. And when they hear the 2 or 3 minutes you just gave us, it reeks like a huge government cover-up of something. And maybe it's not. Maybe these people are just morons or drunk on power. But what you just said to me sounds like the federal government is covering things up for the man who tried to murder Donald Trump. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just don't know enough. And we haven't been given the information. Here's the best way to answer that. We were provided an all-member brief in the SCIF, in the secured location, by the FBI, by Avril Haines, also the head of CISA. Okay, so this was all about foreign influence on this election. I was a little bit late. I get in there, and they're doing the whole Russian interference song and dance again. I'm amazed at it, but most of the senators were buying it hook, line, and sinker, and literally asking questions around that. I couldn't even believe it. Because I was late as the last one to ask questions. What I raised was the 800-pound gorilla in the room talking about, and I said, election interference, I mean, the most egregious act of election interference was solicited by Anthony Blinken. It was engineered by Mike Morrell, former deputy CIA director. It was fast-tracked by then CIA director Gina Haspel. That was that letter signed by 51 former intelligence officials that supposedly said that the Hunter Biden laptop had all the earmarks of Russian information operation, even though the FBI had possession of that for over 10 months and knew that that was a genuine computer. Okay, so I raise that. They don't even blink. I asked, okay, who directed the briefing, the unsolicited briefing to Senator Grassley and I in August of 2020, saying we are target disinformation to try and dissuade us from our investigation, which was later leaked to the media to smear me, impacted my Senate re-election 2022. And, hey, FBI director, are you investigating smurfing? He didn't even know what I was talking about. Or that's the way he didn't say that, but that's the way he appeared. They're not investigating it. That's when they cut off the briefing. I didn't get to ask about the thing I'm most concerned about in terms of this election is illegal immigrants voting. We know they've already been registered, many without even their knowledge. Now, how does an illegal immigrant get registered to vote and for what purpose if they don't even know they're registered to vote? Somebody's obviously using their registration to cheat. And we're supposed to say, and by the way, that was also part of the briefing. They're confident this is going to be the most secure election in our lifetime. I'm just not buying it. It was total BS.
Yeah, last time they told us it was the most secure. I think it took them a week to finish counting all the votes. Okay, Senator, Iran, I have to ask you about this before we sign off here. Obviously, everyone was treated to the headlines yesterday. Iran supposedly trying to assassinate Donald Trump, which I tend to believe they've been fairly open about their intention, their desire to do so. How seriously should we take this threat? I realize any assassination attempt is something to be taken seriously, but do we really have a foreign nation state trying to murder one of our politicians, Democrat or Republican? That's like an act of war.
Yeah, no, I think Iran has a record of trying to do that. Fortunately, some of their plots have been foiled. They'd like to take out Donald Trump, but they'd like to get back at the great Satan. So we need to take that risk seriously. And the way we should take it seriously is by securing our borders. We shouldn't be letting in millions and millions of people unvetted, known and unknown gotaways. I mean, it's obviously a clear and present danger. And Jesse, why? What would be the rationale for all this crime, the transnational criminal organizations, potential terrorists, the gangs that are going to infiltrate and take over communities? There's only one explanation. Democrats want millions of people coming to this country that are grateful to them, who will vote for them. And then you relax all controls over your election system. You tell your agencies to register voters. I'm sure that'll be done on a nonpartisan basis. And then sit back and brief the United States senators saying, we got this under control. We're working with your states. This is going to be a very secure election. We're confident of it. Yeah, you're confident that you've got it figured out how you can cheat and maybe steal this election. That's my concern.
Yeah, mine too. Senator, as always, thank you. I appreciate your time. Jeez. Dome sat down for an interview on MSNBC. I need a laugh. Don't you need a laugh? Well, we can laugh at Kamala Harris together. Before we laugh at Kamala Harris, let's ensure that we can get a good night's sleep every single night. I should stop calling it a good night's sleep when I talk about dream powder from Beam, though, because what it is it's a good wake-up. It's not the sleeping. It's the waking. That's when you know how well you slept. There are a million things you can walk in and grab and buy that'll put you to sleep. All kinds of things. That, you know what they all have in common, at least for me? You feel like crap when you wake up. Tired still, groggy, in this fog all the time. I can't be like that. Dream powder from Beam is natural stuff. It's a cup of hot chocolate you sip on before bed. It's delicious. And you just drift off to sleep. And when you wake, you feel good. Not groggy, not half dead. Good. Go get some dream powder in your life. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly gets you up to 40% off. Go get a bag of it. You'll always have one. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Well, they shamed Dome into doing an interview. Now, credit to Kamala Harris and her team. They understand she's a moron. They understand she can't speak really about anything. I've never seen a woman her age not know anything about anything. Just by living that long, you'd think you'd accidentally fall into some kind of knowledge about something, but not Dome. No, she's lived her life in such a soulless, repressive manner, she knows nothing about nothing. So who do you even get to interview her? Well, this lady who went on Bill Maher, Stephanie Ruhle.
It's not too much to ask Kamala, say, are you for a Palestinian state if Hamas is going to run that state?
Okay.
Yes or no?
And let's say you don't like her answer. Are you going to vote for Donald Trump?
No, I'm not.
Kamala
I just
Harris
said I'm not going to vote for her.
Is not running for perfect. She's running against Trump. We have two choices. And so there are some things you might not know her answer to. And in 2024, unlike 2016 for a lot of the American people, we know exactly what Trump will do, who he is, and the kind of threat he is to democracy.
That lady is the journalist who got a sit down with Kamala Harris. And so you'd think that it went well, right? It didn't. It didn't go well. Here's a top fiver for you. Dome apparently learned a word holistic before the interview.
Some of the work is going to be through what we do in terms of giving benefits and assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars. And looking holistically at the connection between that and housing. And looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing for working people.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what anything she said means. No one does. Again, you want to talk about an empty vessel. I realize that's pretty standard for politicians. I've never seen anything like this woman in my life. She doesn't even know how to pretend to know. She was asked, hey, how are you gonna implement these communist policies like price gouging? Listen to her answer. She had to know this was coming.
How do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls? Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
So just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people.
No one asked that. And look, she's so bad, even Norm and Norma can see that. I mean, look, politicians are supposed to pretend to give an answer. Don't, can't do it. She's done this her whole life. This might have been the best. Even though it's our third, this might have been the best when she was asked, hey, so you're down payments for people and all this money, how are you going to pay for this?
And how do you find that line to make sure corporations are paying their fair share, but they're not leaving our country?
Well, listen, I work with a lot of CEOs. I have spent a lot of time with CEOs, and I'm going to tell you that the business leaders who are actually part of the engine of America's economy agree that people should pay their fair share. They also agree that when we look at a plan such as mine that is about investing in the middle class, investing in new industries, investing in bringing down costs, invest in entrepreneurs like small businesses, that the overall economy is stronger and everyone benefits.
She knows a lot of CEOs. Oh, okay. All right. And those were, I wouldn't even call them hard policy questions. If you and I sat down for 5-10 minutes in a room, We could put our heads together and come up with not only facts, but better answers than that. It's not like those were difficult questions, but let's just go ahead and call those the hard questions in the interview. She then got to the point where she got some softballs. Obviously, Stephanie Ruhle's there to make Dawn look good. And she asked her, when have you ever made a gut decision? Listen to this.
Probably the biggest gut decision I've made most recently is to choose my running mate. Yeah. There were lots of good, incredible candidates. And ultimately, that came down to a gut decision.
Kamala Harris didn't choose Tim Walz. And everyone knows that. Anyone who's even vaguely familiar with politics understands that woman isn't making any decisions of any kind. The powers that be carefully vetted various Democrat candidates, and for purely political reasons, they decided Tim Walz would help them maybe win over the Midwest white guy who thinks Dems are a bunch of anti-white commies, which of course they are. That's why Tim Walz was chosen. Harris wasn't even involved, let alone a gut decision. But how easy is that question to answer? It's an easy question to answer, but not for an empty vessel like this. I've never seen anything like it. And maybe you think all those were the worst. Oh, you'd be mistaken. She was tossed a softball about something she's very clearly lying about. She's trying to normalize and pretend like she knows anything about what your life has been like. And so she told a big fat lie that she used to work at McDonald's. And she was asked during the interview about working at McDonald's.
The first one, just a fact check, okay. Because your opponent
there is
almost
no little
every
job.
Day.
Okay. There's no such thing as a little job.
Okay, fair. Because your opponent almost every day seems to be talking about this. So I just want to ask you yes or no. At any point in your life, have you served two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions,
on a sesame seed bun
working at a McDonald's? Yes or no? That's it.
I have.
Okay. Now the other job.
But it was okay. Not a small job. Like, I did the fries. I mean, I did.
She's never done fries. And she even did the fake excitement thing. Not a sesame seed bun! Just... okay. Look, again, every time I see this woman talk, it gives me some semblance of peace with whatever comes this November. If the country chooses that, or even if there's fraud and we get that, then, look, probably can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again anyway. If America looks at that and says, yeah, well, we're pretty much screwed. Anyway, let's talk to Hung Cao. He's running for Senate in Virginia. Wonder if he has anything to say. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
This is the scariest sound you will hear when you live in a communist country. This is the last sound my parents heard when their fathers were taken away in the middle of the night, and they never saw their loved ones again. That's Joe Biden's Justice Department sending 24 armed agents to arrest a pro-life activist in front of his family. That's Joe Biden's IRS raiding a gun shop and seizing thousands of records from law-abiding gun owners, our names, our addresses, our social security numbers. That's Joe Biden arresting his challenger in the next election, a former president of the United States.
Pretty powerful, isn't it? Usually those campaign ads suck. That one was awesome. Joining me now, I can't believe this guy might win this thing. I'm excited about this. Republican Senate nominee in the state of Virginia. And retired Navy captain, but we won't hold that against him. Hung Cao. Hung, that is, the ad really brings it home because you've lived it. Your family has lived it.
No, thank you, Jesse. I'm telling you right now that it's kind of scary that they're turning this country into what I ran away from. You know, I've spent 25 years in Navy Special Operations to fight to defend this country, only to see it being destroyed by the and from the inside by leftist Marxist, you know, Democrats.
Hung, when we use words like Marxism, communism, I use these words oftentimes. Americans, especially the norms and normies, they'll kind of roll their eyes, tell you to take the tinfoil off your head. But I have so many Cubans, former people from the Soviet Union, Vietnam, who are in this country now screaming, you don't understand, it's happening right here. Why can't we see? Why won't we see?
I mean, first it starts with the snitch line that Tim Walz set up in Minnesota to rat on your neighbors. Now, I think in Michigan, they're setting up a snitch line for kids if their parents aren't safeguarding their guns properly or mishandling it, you know, and that's what they do. They take the kids and they turn them against the parents and they indoctrinate them in schools. And that's exactly what the Cultural Revolution is in China. I mean, they're basically taking kids and turning them against parents, turning neighbor against neighbor. That's what communists do.
Let's shift gears, talk about Virginia for a couple minutes here. Now, I lived there for a year, probably the most beautiful state in the country. Probably is the best, most beautiful state in the country. But it's also been traditionally a fairly blue state. I know we have Glenn Youngkin now, but I'm looking at these poll numbers, Hung, and you might be a senator from the state of Virginia. What's happening there?
So since Glenn Youngkin, first of all, I'll go back to 2020. President Trump lost Virginia by 10 points. In 2021, Glenn Youngkin, Winston Sears, and Jason Miaris won all three statewide elections. In 22, I ran for Congress, but I didn't win. It's in the 10th congressional district, which includes the infamous Loudoun County, where you know the school board was attacking parents and trying to label them as domestic terrorists. I moved an area where Joe Biden won by 19% down to 6%. It's the hardest place to win. And I moved it so far over, and I almost won that race. And we gained one seat in the House of Representatives. In 23, the state elections happened. And even though we lost because of gerrymandering, more Republicans showed up than Democrats. And now, today, we're seeing a huge influx of early voters since last Friday for early voting in all the districts. And it's very exciting.
Are the people waking up? Are there more people moving to Virginia? I'm just not used to this state going this way.
Well, it's just the Southwest is coming out, and up north where I live, the immigrants, they're seeing the same thing I'm seeing. It's like, oh my gosh, you guys are turning this into a communist state, and they're scared. And that's why I'm able to move a lot of them. I mean, even the Muslim community, I can go into a mosque and say, look, I bled for you guys. I defused bombs in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia to save the lives of Muslims. I dove down, recovered aircrafts that crashed, that had a lot of Muslim people on there. I went over to Pakistan during the earthquake to recover the victims. You know, I'm asking for Islam to, you know, for the Muslims to stand behind me because I stood behind you guys to save your lives. And not just that. You know, when they try to turn your boys into girls and girls into boys and let men go into the women's bathrooms to wash their feet, then, you know, who's going to stand behind you? It's not going to be Tim Kaine. And that's who I'm running against, Hillary Clinton's running mate.
Hung, let's talk about the military because we have a recruitment and retention crisis. People don't talk enough about the retention crisis, but the truth is, Hung, that 17-year-old young men, you know, that high school wrestler in Virginia who wants to be the next Hung Cao, he doesn't want to go fight for the U.S. of gay. He doesn't want to be told that he's a racist. He doesn't want to be scolded about social justice. He wants adventure and danger and brotherhood and training and service. And that guy, he's going to do something else now, and it's a disaster for our country.
No, you're absolutely right. So let's look at what happened in Afghanistan in 2021. I left there in January 2021. It was relatively stable. Their country was starting to take the training wheels off their bikes, and they're standing on their own two feet. And then just watching Joe Biden cause that entire country to fall apart. People getting, left behind in Afghanistan, including our allies. Then the COVID shot happened, and we kicked out tens of thousands of guys from, these tier one, tier two units, basically SEAL Team 6 and Delta Force, and all the SEAL teams were getting kicked out because they weren't getting this experimental vaccine. So then they decide they're going to have some cross-dresser as a recruiter. And look, I mean, I don't know who wore more makeup, this guy or Mark Milley, but, you're looking at demonizing. You're demonizing the alpha males and alpha females we need in the military. The young people, they're going to rip out their own guts, eat them, and ask for seconds. And you replace them with these cross-dresser, of course you're going to turn these guys away.
Hung, what do we need to do to help you win? How do we put you over the top in Virginia?
Well, for all your viewers, you can't vote for me if you don't live in Virginia, but I can vote for you. My vote in the U.S. Senate will help you. And the only way to get your voice out there is through commercials. And look, if Comrade Bernie can amass $200 million from $20 donations, then I ask you to go to hungforva.com. That's H-U-N-G-F-O-R-V-A.com. And contribute a little bit, because we win Virginia. President Trump wins the presidency, and we're going to get this country back in order.
Hung, I appreciate you, my brother. Semper Fi. All right, let's lighten the mood. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And there are many, many wonderful things about living in a red state versus a blue state. I'm not going to bludgeon you again about why you need to move, although you do. But one thing you will see, it's hilarious, here in Texas, wherever you go, there are huge pieces of farmland, of ranch land, along the various highways, whether you're on a little two-lane road or the major highways that go through the state. And you will see, not even official ones all the time, you'll see huge homemade signs, Trump, make America great again, all over the state. We snicker about it all the time. People are not shy here at all. So Democrats decided to put up a billboard telling people to vote Democrat. And I could have told you exactly what was going to happen after that.
Got a problem, bro. They put a f***ing vote Democrat sign right above the damn shop. And that one right there is still available. So, should we do something?
1 minute later.
People take that serious in this state. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.